As there is an increasing international push to move away from dirty energy, hydrogen has emerged as an attractive zero-carbon alternative. The gas can be produced from renewable energy sources, stored as a liquid, and used to fuel vehicles with no emissions. Stuart Hawksworth is president of the International Hydrogen Safety Organisation, which hosts the biannual International Hydrogen Conference being held in Adelaide this week. I asked him why, if hydrogen is such a safe and green alternative, we haven't been using it already.
It's been easier to use oil derivatives, things like gasoline and all of those. But now, with climate change, the issue that it is, we've been driven towards kind of hydrogen technologies. At the same time, those technologies are getting better, so ways to produce hydrogen, ways to store it, ways to use it to generate energy or to get your car to move or do any of those things are all improving as well. So all that's starting to come together and is painting a really good picture for kind of hydrogen moving forward, and everybody's starting to realise the benefits of it.
What's the greenest option for us to get hydrogen?
Here in Australia, South Australia, the big interest is around using renewable electricity to drive a process called electrolysis. You break water down into hydrogen and oxygen, which gives you the hydrogen, which is then been produced in a very green way from renewables, which you can then use to feed back into something called a fuel cell, which then recombines the hydrogen and oxygen from the air and generates electricity at the same time, again in a very green process, just producing water. So it gets us out of that carbon cycle completely.
These can be upscaled to run larger vehicles, can't they?
If I talk about the UK and Europe for a little bit, battery vehicles have taken off a little bit in the UK and lots of people are using them, but there are the issues around recharge time and how far you can travel and all of that. And they're probably acceptable for private cars, for people who are driving in the city and some of those things. What we're starting to realise is if you want to have trucks or even rail applications that need to operate for long periods and go much further, it's not practical to do that with batteries because you take up half of your truck with the batteries to achieve it. So hydrogen provides that solution. It's more compact than a battery vehicle and enables us now, and it's starting to develop, to actually move things like trucks and trains around over reasonable distances in a reasonable way with a short refueling time, such that we can do it much the way we do now.
The network that exists for natural gas, does that sort of transition well to hydrogen usage?
In the UK, we're a temperate country. We have very cold winters. The amount of energy we use is massive. All of that probably accounts for something like 30% of our carbon emissions. And so what we're looking to do is decarbonise heat. And the way we're looking to do that is to put hydrogen into the gas network, replacing natural gas. In the short term, to make it cost effective for a country like us, we can't do that in a completely green way. So what we're going to do is we're going to use a process called steam methane reforming combined with carbon capture and storage, which essentially means you break down the natural gas, get the hydrogen out, feed that into the grid so that people can put it in their boilers and do whatever it is they do with the gas. And then the carbon, the CO2 that comes off and you've broken off of the natural gas, we're going to store in the old oil fields that are now empty in the North Sea. And this is carbon capture and storage, well-known technology which is starting to develop. And that's a cost-effective way for us to do it in the short term. But what we see is that once we've got that infrastructure in place, because the gas network in the UK is extensive and connects the whole of the country, it then gives us options in terms of supplying hydrogen to vehicles, distributing it around, which once it's been used for lots of applications, we're going to need to distribute a lot of hydrogen, and the gas network would allow us to do it. And there's lots of work going on to look at how we can achieve that. And it's looking very positive, very positive.
Carbon capture, there is schools of thought in terms of the safety of that. And I guess that's why South Australia primarily is looking at a renewable source. But across Australia, that carbon capture and storage option is what's being considered in other states, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, I'm not massively familiar with what's happening in other states. My main involvement's been here with South Australia. But the reservations about carbon capture and storage, there are some of those in Europe too. It's a technology, I think, that we're all confident can be used in terms of storing carbon, certainly in the oil fields in the North Sea and the gas fields. You know, they've been very effective at storing what they stored before. The integrity is quite good. So there's lots of work going on to demonstrate that will work.
That's utilising the natural gas and converting that. But is there potential for what South Australia particularly is looking at as desalinating water and then pulling that apart to produce the fuel in a more environmentally conscious way?
The real thing for South Australia is that clearly you have massive renewables and you have loads of space, and you can do that to generate hydrogen, which you can then sell and export to the rest of the world. What's clear for a country like the UK, while we're using steam methane reforming in the short term, where we want to get to is a fully green solution in the end. But we probably couldn't generate enough renewable power to do that. So we'll probably need to become an importer of hydrogen, probably from Australia, shipped as liquid hydrogen on tankers or as ammonia, to move it over long distances. So yeah, it's an elegant solution that we can all see in the future, because steam methane reforming, I think, is regarded only as a, you know, maybe to get us to 2050, 2060 in the UK, and beyond that we're thinking about being greener.
You talked about just then the transporting of the product. So a liquid hydrogen isn't so much the efficient way to do it. The ammonia is the better option. Are there any risks in terms of that transport process?
Well, ammonia has moved around in tankers already. That goes without saying. We know how to do it at relatively low risk. The liquid hydrogen is going to be in tankers is going to be a bit like LNG, which clearly is happening. Australia is now the biggest exporter of LNG in the world. So it's just a development of that technology so that we can then shift liquid hydrogen around the world in a similar way.
In terms of emerging markets, what does the international landscape for demand for hydrogen cells look like?
For Australia, the obvious markets are Japan and Korea, who are pushing really hard to kind of use hydrogen in their economy. They're leaders in manufacturing vehicles, leaders in doing lots of other technologies using hydrogen, power generation, all of those things. There's agreements and discussions between Australia and Japan and Korea already, which are kind of clearly are going to make that happen, and it's going to grow and be a really important thing for Australia, I think.
Primary focus of this conference has been around safety.
Yep.
Is there anything that still needs to be worked out?
The only thing that's happening, and what this conference is about, is as the technology develops, to move to trucks, to move to trains, which will need larger amounts of hydrogen and need to store that hydrogen in different ways, and have an infrastructure that can support that, which utilises much more hydrogen and can move much more hydrogen around. This conference is about thinking about how we might do that, anticipating the things that we might need to sort out and understand, and then just kind of enabling the technology for the future by making sure that the safety's dealt with, rather than just worrying about the safety later. So that's very much what this community's about.
Stuart Hawksworth, President of the International Association of Hydrogen Safety.